Good morning, everybody, and happy new year to you. I can totally relate to Bron and the whole workout thing, because my muscles have been breathing for about 6 months to the point where they don't work very good. And in fact, I'm sure that some of them aren't even there anymore. But that is one of the things that I want to do. I want to get in shape. Both of my daughters decided they were both going to get puppies at the same time. And those puppies come over to my house, and they are a lot of energy. And I like to go out and run with them. And I found that they can run a lot better than I can. In fact, I ran about 15 feet, and then I waited for them to come to me because my muscles have been resting far too long. But it is a new year, and I'm excited about this year. And we actually kicked it off last Friday night with our a prayer time where it was focusing on how to hear the voice of God. And it was an incredible night for me, and I got a lot of good feedback. So my message today is, here we go. Here we go. The last year and a half, we have been studying about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does that look like? How does that apply to my life? How can I put it into practice? And we shut down all of our life groups, all of our outside stuff, and we just focused on connecting to God and knowing what He wants for us. And here at New Hope Christian Center, we have a simple mission, and that is to make disciples. And the way that we do that here at New Hope Christian Center is we connect people to God, we connect people to other people, and we release for service. The last year and a half, we have been focusing intensely on connecting to God so that we can learn better who He is and who we are as His children. And so my message today is, here we go. And it kind of there's an excitement. See, we're not moving from connecting to God, but we're going to continue that. But now we're focusing on connecting to others and releasing for service. We've had so many people that have had such incredible growth in their personal lives, in their walk with the Lord. And it's awesome to see. And they'll come up to me and it's like, I know God has something for me, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but I'm going to take that first step. And usually it's accompanied by, and I'm scared to death. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know where this is going to lead me, but I'm excited about it. And I began to think about the excitement of this year, because it is going to be new. And we went to Orlando a couple years ago, and we went to one of the parks in Orlando, and I love the rides. My family loved the rides. There was one ride that I absolutely loved, and it's called the Hulk. Some of you have ever ridden the Hulk or seen it on television. It is awesome. And you sit in the chair, because you see it operating as you're walking to it. And you're imagining what this is going to be like. But I'd never experienced it before. I'd experienced other roller coasters, the ones that tick, 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 tick. And there's that anticipation of, holy smokes, the drop is coming. And there's that, you actually have that kind of anxiety. But there's that excitement too. Other people have absolute terror and fear that just grips them. Others don't even get on the ride. It's like, not going to do it. Never going to do it. Don't like it. Don't. No, 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 no. But I, on the Hulk, what it does, it runs by magnets. and it launches you. So you go from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds. And it just launches you straight up, and then you go through a barrel roll and this, and it's awesome. But when they strap you in and they put that thing over you, there's that anticipation of, what in the world have I gotten myself into? There's kind of the fear, there's kind of the anxiety, there's kind of the excitement. And then you just sit back and it's like, okay, here we go. And that's kind of like it is right now with me, with New Hope, for the things that we're going to be doing this next year. I am excited. I've seen growth in people, and we're releasing them to do what God has called them to do. So that is my message today. And we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. If you're new here to New Hope Christian Center, we are sticklers on studying the Word of God, because God reveals himself through his word. He reveals who we are through his word. He reveals plans that he may have for each and every one of us through his word. And we're going to talk about why it is so important in a moment. But in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, this is God speaking. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, God does not answer casual inquiries. God does not answer the flippant, "Oh yeah, well God, if you're there, duh." He says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And I will listen to you. So we're going to take a look at what he talks about when it says, I know the plans that I have for you. Because we don't know the plans that he has for us. It has to be revealed through a slow process, through a step-by-step process. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we're going to look at a man called Abram, who later became Abraham. And the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." Now, can you imagine? God, when he asked Abram to go, he was calling him out of his normal. He was calling him out of his everyday life. He was calling him out of what he was used to, what he was accustomed to, and he said, simply, go. He did not give him a destination. He did not tell him how to get there. He did not give him a plan on packing up the family and how they were going to do it. He simply said, go. But one thing that he did tell him, "I'm going to be with you. Do you trust me enough? Do you trust God enough to obey him even when you don't know the destination?" Abraham did. If you read on, I believe it's the next verse, he says, and he obeyed God. But can you imagine if God, when he went to Abraham and said, "You need to go. Leave your family, leave your household, leave your country, leave your everything. And go." He had to have a plan on how he was going to implement this move. Did he not? He had to figure out, okay, don't know where we're going, so we need to be prepared. We need to bring these things. I don't know if you've ever gone camping, but my wife has a list that she uses every year. She gets that list out and she goes, okay, we need this and 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 this. And what's amazing to me, we always forget something every year. Doesn't matter how well we're prepared, but there has to be a plan in place. There has to be something that you say, okay, we are going to need to take this with us. And there had to have been the point where he said, there are certain things that we need to leave behind. There are certain things that we will not need on the way, or certain things that are going to be more beneficial to leave them behind than to take them with us. So there was a list of things to take, and there was a list of things of, well, we're just going to give this to the family. Because you can't take everything. What if God said, go, and you had to move out tonight? Wouldn't you go home and go, holy cow. Okay, this is going to go. This is definitely not going. Oh, but I need that. No, you don't. You haven't worn that for 15 years. You don't need that. So there has to be a plan set in place to do what God wants us to do. You see, we can't just sit back. Abram didn't just sit back and go, all right, God, I'm willing to go. And I'm just going to sit here in my normal until you give me some more details. You see, as we're moving forward, as we are releasing for service here now at New Hope Christian Center, some of you are not quite sure where this is going to take you or where God is going to take you. But you know what? When he said that I know the plans I have for you, and he was talking to the Jewish people, he's also talking to his kids. He's talking to us today. I know the plans that I have for you. I know you have plans that you have for your life, but I also have plans for you. I have a direction. I have a purpose in mind. And in fact, I had that purpose in my mind before you were even born. Because I knew you before you were born. So we all have that. And God's plan and purpose for your life is not to come and sit in a black chair on a Sunday morning and then go live your life however it is that you want and come back and do it again next week. That is not his plan for anybody. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And as we move forward into the new year, I was praying about, Lord, what do you want to do here at New Hope Christian Center? I was praying for that plan. What do you want it to look like? How do you want to do things? And I felt him say over a month ago, teach my children how to hear my voice. That's why we did last Friday night. He said, teach them how to hear my voice. You see, in the Old Testament, God spoke to the people through the prophets. In the New Testament, if you are a believer, God instilled his own spirit in you, and he wants to speak to you personally. See, you need to learn how to hear his voice personally. Because when we grow closer to him, it becomes easier to hear. And it will keep us from going down certain roads that God never wanted us to go down to begin with. Amen? A failure to plan is a plan for failure. If you do not have a plan, like Braun was talking about, working out. If you do not have a plan on how to work out and what you're going to do, it probably is not going to happen. It probably won't happen. People say, well, I want to lose weight. Okay, great. But doing things the way you're doing them now ain't going to work. You have to change. You have to have a plan set in place in order for those things to happen. So Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to start here, and we're going to stay with this verse for the remainder. And we're going to dissect it a little bit. It says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. And because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. See, there's three things going on here. One of them is they're destroyed from a lack of knowledge, which is basically ignorance. We don't know. We haven't been taught. The second part is you have rejected knowledge. You've gained knowledge, but you don't agree with it, and you reject it, and you set it aside. The third part is you have ignored the law of your God. And so we're going to break these apart because they are different. They are different. We're going to start with the lack of knowledge. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge." You see, if you go on and you read beyond this, there's a whole list of things that we are to add to our lives. And we're going to get to the reason why a little bit later. But we are to add to our faith. You have to start with faith. That has to be the baseline. That has to be the foundation of adding these things. The next thing that he lists is knowledge. We need to gain that knowledge. And the other part of that is, first is add to your faith goodness and then knowledge. And goodness in the Greek is arete, and it means a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action, and moral excellence. So in order to add to our faith, the first thing he said is you need to add arete. You need to add good thoughts, prosperous thoughts, not prosperous as far as gaining money, but prospering in the Lord, feeling and action and moral excellence. So the first thing that we are to add to our faith is goodness, and then we are to add knowledge. And that goodness is the goodness, and we're going to learn about this a little bit later. In fact, it's going to be the focal point of this season, is chesed. It is the goodness between mankind, how people treat one another. Do you realize that God calls us to treat other people with kindness, with loving kindness, granting mercy? And it doesn't matter who they are or what they believe or how they vote. We are still to treat people with loving kindness. And he says, add to your faith loving kindness. How you treat other people matters. And then add to that how you're treating other people, add knowledge to that. 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 18, it says to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to grow and to know him better on a daily basis. Because when we get to know God more, we get to know his characteristics more, his personality more, it makes it easier to love someone else who may not be so lovable. And in fact, I don't believe you can love people the way we should without God's help. We can't do it because we are creatures who, if you attack me, I'm going to attack you. We are taught in our culture that if someone slams us, then we have to slam them back. They slam us, the walls go up, defensive, push away, and that's not what this verse is talking about. We're supposed to still love in the midst of that. And I don't know about you, that's hard for me. I like to lash out back at people who deserve a good lashing. But my Bible says differently. So we have a few things here at New Hope that are going to help you to increase your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to help you to connect to God. They're going to help you to connect to other people. And they will put you on the steps of being released to do what God has called you specifically to do. Because he has things that he's called you to do that he has not called me to do. You see, we have this mentality in America that the church in America is where people go sit down. The pastor does all the ministering, all the talking, all the reaching out. He's the one that visits people. He's the one that does everything. It's not my job. That's his job. That is not biblical. We all have something that God wants us to do on a daily basis. and only you have the gifts from God to do that. So you specifically have a certain set of gifts that God has instilled in you that he wants to use for his glory, not for you to use for your glory. Amen? So we have some things coming up. In fact, we have a lot of things coming up where you have an opportunity. We give you an opportunity to connect to God, to increase your knowledge, to connect to other people, and learn what it is that you're supposed to be released to do. First thing on Sunday morning is our Sunday morning workouts. 9 o'clock in the morning, we meet in the multipurpose room. We're doing a verse-by-verse study of Psalms. But it is an interactive study. It is, oh, well, wait a minute. I always read it this way. Or my Bible says this. What does your Bible say? So it is an interactive. It's learning, because we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different environments. We've been taught different things. And to be able to discuss those things in the context of a small group is healthy, is very healthy. I don't know if you've noticed, in our country, there are certain things that you just don't talk about, or you get into trouble. Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about religion. You know what? You should be able to talk about those things without getting angry. Unfortunately, all you have to do is turn on the television and you see anger. This person's angry at that person. Well, that person's angry at this. Well, I'm offended by what that person said. I can't believe that she did that. I can't. Did you see what she was wearing? Oh my gosh. And everything is drama. And God says in the Bible, don't quarrel over words. There are certain people, and it's not our job as Christians to make someone else believe what we believe. Take that off the table. That is not our job. In fact, God simply calls us to testify about what God has done for me. I got together with some friends of mine that I grew up with, went to parochial school for 8 years with. I hadn't seen him for 33 years. And some of us got together, high school buddies, and we were just talking, and one of my buddies goes, well, you know, Jim's a pastor. And the guy I'd known since he was probably four or five, he looked at me and he goes, you're a pastor? First of all, he couldn't believe that I was a pastor because we'd grown up together. And then he got very combative. Oh, so you mean you're like one of those? Oh, so you're religious. I says, no, I'm not religious. I'm a Christian. There's a difference. Because religion is simply rules made up by men to be good enough to be accepted by God. That's what religious is. I ain't religious. Oh, you're one of those spiritual people. I says, well, that's kind of a term that's a little vague too, because there are certain people that I've met who consider themselves spiritual who I think are total whack jobs. Well, then what is it? And he was just boom, 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 boom. But he didn't want me to answer. He didn't want to hear what I believed. He had already shut me off because I am a pastor. And all he knew about pastors was what he heard on the news, and that they're all charlatans. All they want is your money. They're having sex with everybody in the congregation, and they're all phonies. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. And I began to engage. I have to admit, because I really wanted to. And I got to the point where I just felt God say, shut your mouth. Because it was simply a war of words. I wasn't going to make him believe what I believe. He didn't even want to hear what I believed. And so I had to drop it. And I have no intention of seeing him ever again. I'm just kidding. But it has given me a chance to know where he comes from. And I don't know his total story on why he's so angry. I've met people who have grown up in parochial schools, who went to Gonzaga Prep, they went to Gonzaga University, and they want absolutely nothing to do with the Catholic Church or church at all. Well, I come to find out he was one of the ones who had been abused by the priests. I didn't know where he was coming from. I thought he was just angry and just wanted to live his life however he wanted and didn't want anybody telling him what to do. No, he had been abused by the very representatives of God that were to show God's love to them. And that's out there a lot. So we don't know where people are coming from. So we can't snap to judgments if they get combative with us. And in fact, Jesus says, you know what? They're going to hate you because they hated me first. I, as a representative of God, for some reason, he's got something against God. And he was going to take it out on one of his kids. I don't know where he's coming from. So to sit there and argue with him is not beneficial whatsoever. Amen? Wow, how did we get there? Sunday morning workouts. That rabbit hole that Larry's always talking about, I was deep in that bad boy. I couldn't even see the light. I got so far back in, I couldn't back my way out. Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, youth band rehearsal. And this is led by Paul and Daisy Dice. Paul and Daisy, raise your hands, please. And it is at the Dice's home. It's for any youth that enjoy music, whether or not you already know how to play an instrument, maybe you can go and learn how to play an instrument there. Right, Daisy? And it is at their house Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., I am doing a verse-by-verse study of Jeremiah. It is an intense verse. We've already done a verse-by-verse of Isaiah and Ezekiel, and now we're doing Jeremiah, and then we will do Daniel, and then we will do Revelation, because I've had so many people say, you need to teach us a class on the book of Revelation. Well, I don't believe you should even touch Revelation until you've read Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Daniel. Because those are the prophetic books that speak ahead to Revelation, that give you more revelation of Revelation. So, there you go. And if you come to that, bring your Bible. Young adults group, 18 and over, are led by Roger and Kim Brake. Are they here today? Kim Brake is there. That is going to be at the Brakes home, and it is a place to connect with God and connect with other young adults. And they will be going over a variety of conversational things and opinions and culture and how we as Christians are to respond and believe those things. There's a young married couples study starting this next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. It's called A Marriage Built to Last. It is at the Stephanie and Connor Canoon's home, right back there. It is also co-led by Ashley and Andrew Mastronardi and Brandon and Carly Trono. And because that group is growing in our church with little bambinos and little bambinas, we will provide babysitting for you at the home of Connor and Stephanie. So you don't have to drop your kids off here, drive out to the house, and then come back and pick up the kids. You just take them with you there, and we will have a babysitter there for you. So that is awesome. Wednesday nights at 6:45, we have the youth group that is 6th through 12th grade. There we go. And that is led by Brooke and Aaron Morton. That's Aaron. That's Brooke, and that bump on the front of her is little Josiah James. Let's see. Wednesday nights. Youth discipleship class is on the second Wednesday of each month, and that starts in the conference rooms, and that starts at 6:45. 6:45. So, awesome. Also on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have the Power of Simple Prayer, and that is open to everyone. And that is led by Donzie, and it will be in Donzie's home. It's discovering the importance of prayer and the different kinds and keys to powerful prayer. We also have the Team Kids, ages 6 to 11, led by Jessica Brazel, right there. That is on Sunday or Wednesday nights. Kids 6 to 11 here at the church in the upstairs room, and it's teaching kids who Jesus is through activities, stories, and crafts. Thursday nights and at 6 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. is a women's workout class. And it is at the church, and is a variety of workouts between pound, boot camp, and plyo. My daughter is certified in these things, so she will be teaching with Lisa Garza. Where's Lisa? There she is over there. And so, ladies, if you want to come to the church, work out for an hour on Thursday nights and Saturday mornings. So there, if your muscles have been breathing a little too long, ladies, maybe it's time to step in and do a little plyo. Or Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, and I believe it's an hour. Correct? It's an hour. All right. The first and third Thursday nights here at the church at 7 p.m., we have a women's group who will be studying Present Over Perfect, led by Hannah Ellersick down here. We'll be meeting at the church. It's a study full of encouragement and helpful information. And at the same time, the men will be meeting here at the church. A men's group studying uncommon men, led by Sam Weber and assisted by George Raskill, ready to develop beliefs, values, integrity, and faithfulness that lead to true victory. So if you're married, come on those every other Thursday nights. The women will break off into one group, ladies, and if you want to work out before you get there, come in a little bit early, and then the men will break off into their group as well. So I am excited about that. And if you have any, if you want any information to those groups, you can get that information out in the foyer. I'm going to stop because I have way too much. I don't want to cram it in. We got through the very first phase of what it means to add to your knowledge. That's what we do here at New Hope Christian Center. Here at New Hope, if you haven't heard before, church is a family that you belong to. Church is not a building that you go to. It is a family that you belong to. Here at New Hope Christian Center, we're family. We are called to live life together. Grandmas and grandpas in Christ, aunts and uncles in Christ. Carly and Brandon are going to need help with little Emma, raising her up in the ways of the Lord. And you know what? I'm going to help them do that because they're my kids. They're my kids. You see, I have a lot of kids in this room. I only have two biological daughters, but I have a lot of kids. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I have grandkids now. Little Jimmycita. That's what I call Emma. And the reason I call her that is because Grandma and Mom hate that. And I can see why. Jimmycita is not a really pretty name, but it is the name I have given her nonetheless. She's going to need Papa Nitro. That's not really my name either, but it sure sounds awesome. And she will grow up calling me Papa Nitro. And I think that's going to be awesome too, because it's going to irritate a lot of people, like my wife and my daughters. But you know what? We're called to be family. We're called to do this thing together. When we go through difficult times in our lives, the natural thing to do is to withdraw so that people don't see us going through that. No, and when you're part of a family, that's when you reach out. My sister, I think I can share this. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. My sister just went through a nervous breakdown. And I was getting calls from my other sister, getting calls from my mom. And we all got together rallied around her and helped her in her time of distress. And that's what family does. So when somebody goes through something here at New Hope Christian Center, I can't be the one that answers all those calls. I can't be the one that goes and visits everyone in a hospital. I don't have the time. If you don't know, I work a full-time job as well as heading up the church here. I work in orthopedics, full-time job, and I get calls on the weekends as well. So I cannot do those things that normal pastors do on a daily basis. But you know what the Bible says? I'm supposed to teach you guys how to do those things so that when someone gets sick and you're part of a small group, a life group, the rest of your group can rally. They can come alongside. They can say, hey, let me take care of the kids while you do this. Hey, how about I bring you over some dinners? Would that help you out? It's those little things that make an impact in someone's life. I could sit up here and preach sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, and you may not remember one of them, but you will remember when someone reaches out to you in a time of need. That's what we're about here at New Hope Christian Center. We're doing life. We're doing it together. And we are called to love one another, even when we may not like one another. I don't know about you, but in my family, there are certain family members that I am not too fond of. But I still love them. They're still my family. And that's how it should be here at New Hope Christian Center. No matter what your background is, no matter where you've come from, no matter how you voted the last election, ultimately, we're all his kids, which makes us family. Amen? I'm done. Otherwise, there's another rabbit hole I'm going to jump down and I'm going to drag you with me, and it's just not going to be a pretty sight. So please stand.